Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Left of Straight Show Interviews, the premier podcast that shares the stories of our amazing LGBTQ community and, of course, fantastic straight allies, all from entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and let's start talking.
Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Alan.
And we're the co-founders
of Fruit Loots.
So the name Fruit Loots came about because Alan and I were thinking about all of the things that inspired us as kids of a particular age. And we thought of, you know, obviously the cereal brands of our childhood, but then the idea that we could be two fruits that have really great loot was kind of like how the name came about. So spin that around however way you want to, but that's how Fruit Loots was born.
When people get a Fruit Loots box, they can really expect a lot of fun, whimsy, and humor built into our design. We really just wanted to capture a sense of nostalgia. Every sleeve design is unique in and of itself, so it truly is one of those like Easter egg cereal box moments that we want everyone to experience when they receive a gift from us.
So there are three easy ways for you to shop Fruit Loots. Number one, go online and shop our pre-picked, curated gift boxes. All you have to do is pick the theme and then add your message and send it on its way. Number two is build your own box. You pick your gifts, you pick your gift wrap, and then you add your own personalized message to the box, and then we send it on its way. And the third easiest way to shop Fruit Loots is just go on and shop for yourself. So by all means, go online, shop for all the really cool things that we have. There's a lot of great gifts on there for everyone and for you.
Well, welcome everyone to our latest interview where I'm thrilled to spotlight the incredibly talented Sharon Lee, a director, writer, and producer whose visionary work continues to captivate and inspire audiences around the globe. Sharon has risen to the ranks of the film industry, earning accolades for her unique storytelling approach and her ability to bring depth and nuance to both the big and the small screens and the characters all within her stories. She's here to talk about her new movie, Float, set to premiere on February 9th in theaters and on streaming. Let's take a look.
On three, big breath in. One, two.
Waverly?
Hi, Auntie.
What are you doing here?
I haven't had time off since med school, so now's my chance before I start my residency.
I haven't told my parents.
You made it!
Hi.
You're Rachel's neighbor.
I'm Blake.
Nice to meet you.
She okay?
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Are you okay?
Me? Morning.
Hi.
You can't swim, huh?
I kind of missed that as a kid.
I could teach you.
Why are you doing this?
I like spending time with you. I hate thinking about all the years I spent without knowing you and all your weird bits. Tell me about your parents.
I was dating them 4 years. They make sure I have everything that I need, but they don't really know me. Every news I get, I want to share it with you. Every thought I think. Are you looking at me?
No. Every funny joke,
I
want
to try it on you. I kind of have feelings for Blake.
No kidding.
Here you are, having the best summer of your life, going after a boy you like.
I think I see lovebirds.
She's thinking about moving here.
It's too soon, right?
Hi, Mom.
Dr. Wong squeezed you into his research team. This is for your future.
My parents want me in Toronto.
I'm not normally very impulsive.
Where? Can we just stay in the moment? You're the one.
Beverly, you lied to us.
I want to stay here with you, but I do want to be a doctor.
You don't have to act like this is anything more than summer fling.
It's time you ask yourself what you
want to
do.
I don't want the summer to end.
You have to make yourself known in this life. Not for anyone else, but for you.
Sharon, thanks so much for coming on the Left of Straight Show. I appreciate being the chance to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate you. It's such a great movie. I appreciate you giving me a little advanced screener for it. Coming out next week. How exciting is that?
It's very exciting. I'm very excited. Right in time for Valentine's Day.
Nice. Exactly. Right. Well, I loved it. I loved the cast. I loved seeing it. Now, it was kind of fun. I love doing research on my guests. You've done a lot of great episodic TV up in Canada and writing and producing and movies. For my listeners that aren't familiar with it, give them a little bit of overview of what Float is about.
Okay. So Float is about Waverly, who is on her way to see her parents in Taiwan, when they suddenly cancel her plans because they got her a job. So she, on a whim, flies to visit her aunt in a small town, beach town, BC, where she almost drowns at a party and is saved by her lifeguard neighbor, played by Robbie Amell, Blake, and their love story.
It's a fantastic story. I love the setting for it and everything. So much fun for it. Talk about, give me a little overview for you. How did you approach the character development? Because this is an adapted screenplay, right, that you helped co-write. So talk about how, did you know you were going to direct it? Did that envision how you were writing came about? Or talk about that process.
Yeah, definitely. I was brought onto the project by Robbie Amell's team, and they had optioned this book from Wattpad by Kate Merchant. And when I read the book, it was pretty uncanny how much I could relate to the story. As a immigrant from Taiwan, I grew up, you know, not really learning how to swim, and also have this, you know, complicated relationship with my parents, as you do. And I was really curious to tell a grounded love story. I also traveled in my early 20s and fell in love while I was traveling. So romantic at heart. And yeah, I definitely grew up watching all the rom-coms, and it was a really cool opportunity to tell a story that I was that was grounded in my experience, and this idea that, you know, vacation romance can be real, and ultimately, you know, this theme of belonging in Kate's book really resonated with me, and the film is really centered around the idea of what does it mean to belong, and how do you feel like how you belong, and kind of taking that responsibility onto yourself and playing a part in connecting and like being honest about how you feel and asking for what you want in order to connect with other people.
Exactly. I love that. And I love the multiculturality of it. I like the different locations for it. Just beautifully shot and beautiful look at just a tapestry of all sorts of different people. My show is primarily for LGBTQ primary audience, but it's like we all have a little diversity in background. So it's great to see that kind of multiculturalness in it. So that's yeah, very exciting. Was that into the script originally?
So the book is about a 17-year-old girl, and I really wanted to bring in diversity into the film. And, you know, diversity in a way that feels like normal as part of the fabric of our society, which is true to life, you know. And so not only, you know, was Waverly, you know, changed to being Asian because of me, of my experience, but also her friend group of, you know, Jesse and Lena being, you know, the brother sister to twins, but Lena having a wife and being pregnant with a wife, and that, you know, non-hetero relationship, you know. So yeah, I'm always looking for opportunities to represent communities that aren't represented enough.
That's awesome. I absolutely love that. And talk about your casting process for Float. I mean, you probably work with Andrea and Kim's Convenience. I saw you did quite a few of the last three episodes there. Robbie, you said his production company came to you. I saw you wrote co-writer on Code 8 too. I feel like I helped your career because I donated $100 to the crowdfunding of Code 8 1 because I'm a huge Robbie and Steven fan. So you and I have that connection. But talk about this casting. I mean, Michelle is out of this world. You have a great cast.
Yeah, I really am in love with my cast. Everybody's so wonderful and charming. And, you know, we were building a family on screen, and I wanted people that were warm and felt intimate, you know, people that you meet and immediately you feel like you've known them your whole lives. And right. I think so many, all of them bring that. Working with Andrea on Kim's Convenience was amazing. And it was really cool to be able to work with her again. In a totally different capacity, totally different role. I mean, her role on Kim's is very different than Waverly. So I'm really excited for people to see her as this romantic lead. And then Michelle, yeah, was an amazing find. We're so glad she was able to do the film, and she's so funny and just like everything we needed her to be. She is so many people's favorite characters. So yeah, it's nice to hear.
Were you able to develop a shorthand with Michelle? Because she's doing directing now too and everything. Did that kind of give you guys a shorthand or something to bond over during filming?
For sure. I think she is, you know your stuff. She is making her own stuff now too. And so it was nice to be able to bond over that. And she has so much experience as an actor. So everybody brought, so much to the table.
That is amazing. Like I said, I love the movie so much. I was kind of researching on everyone. Hopefully I'll be able to talk to Michelle and Andrew soon. But Andrew, just, I can't believe his story. He started a nonprofit in honor of his grandparents when he was a lot younger before he became Vine famous, who's before TikTok for us of a certain age. So that's just crazy. Yeah.
One of the OG influencers.
Exactly, right? I can only hope one of these days. Goodness gracious. Do you have any memorable scenes during shooting? Anything that was maybe particularly challenging or particularly uplifting during filming?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of my favorite moments in filming and also in the film was the scene where Robbie and Andrea are at the top of the mountain as the sun is rising. And it is such an important scene in the movie. We shot that in a location where was only accessible from a suspension bridge. So we, of course, had to shoot during, you know, this twilight time, and so light was changing very rapidly. We had to carry, you know, light stands and cameras through this bridge. We had a very small skeleton crew for that moment, and it was high stakes because it was a big scene, really emotional, and we needed to get it in half an hour, 45 minutes with very little equipment. And it just, I was so high after that scene. I was just so much adrenaline, because it just went so well. And I was just in awe of both Robbie and Andrea for being so on point and so plugged in that chaos, you know. And it's filmmaking is chaos sometimes. And there was only like a few of us up there with them. But yeah, we had to move super quickly, but it's one of my favorite scenes, and it was really cool.
It was beautifully shot. I can't believe you did it in that short of a time frame. That is amazing. Congratulations. Now, talk about diversity. You did a lot of television. You did kids television with Dino Dana. Talk about, you have to be very adaptable, be able to work with different styles on that. How is that working with the grown-ups and the kids? Did you enjoy that as much when you were doing that back in the day?
Oh yeah. I mean, every project comes with its own quirks and challenges and you know, rewards. And Dino Dana Sinking Ship is a company we have in Toronto that they just make such smart content for kids. And I was really honored to be a part of it. And yeah, working with one child actor and CG dinosaurs was really cool. Like really, I was really happy to be able to work in with those technologies. Yeah.
That's such a great learning experience. I love that. And I mean, you, like you said, you were Taiwan native, born in Montreal, I believe, right? Canada seems to have such a supportive environment for filmmakers. Talk about that. Are you really able to take advantage of that? Have you had some good working relationship? What's your obstacles you might have had to overcome?
Wow. Well, you know, I think filmmaking in general is tough. Like, no matter where you are, it's a highly competitive thing to be doing. But, you know, definitely grateful for Canada's kind of that we have a lot of support from the government, grants and funds and tax credits. And, you know, the world is, I think, generally moving towards a place where more inclusion is happening, you know, a work in progress, but, you know, baby steps. But yeah, I'm really, and it's a smaller community in Canada too. So there's a very supportive community and we're all rooting for each other.
I love that. Yeah, I've been working with a lot of Canadian filmmakers lately, and Toronto is such a hub anymore. I just can't believe how much is going on. I have a good friend that works for kids, we're actors and everything. She worked on that new Percy Jackson that was filmed in Toronto, and just the diversity and the talent there is amazing. So I love how far ahead Canada seems to be in a lot of ways. And with streaming now and everything, we have to learn to be resourceful and help each other out, because anyone can make a series on their iPhone anymore, right?
Sure, for sure. Yeah.
Well, talk about what you hope are the takeaways for this film for your audience. What are you really hoping they get out of, besides just a fantastic romantic love story over Valentine's Day? What are you hoping are the key takeaways?
Well, I certainly hope that they enjoy themselves and that they are kind of swept away by this romance and these beautiful scenery, and like get them a little break from winter. But ultimately, I hope people walk away with a little bit more courage to be honest with the people that they love and really speak from the heart and be a little bit more vulnerable so that they can really feel connected and seen.
Oh, that's so well said. There's definitely a story element there where we find out different things. And yeah, I think that's well said overall. Very good. Well, I just appreciate so much you taking the time to come on the show here. Talk about where they can find the show. It's going to be both on streaming and distributed, right?
That's right. So it's going to be in theaters, on demand, and digital, all on February 9th, next Friday. So get out there and you can rent it or go to the movies, make a night of it.
Congratulations. Can you give me any sneak on Code 8 too? I want a little bit of a sneak peek.
What can I tell you? Well, the trailer has been released, so I hope you can have a look. I guess, you know, Robbie's character has a new challenge, someone to take care of. So yeah, it's also like a very character relationship driven story.
I love it. And do you have another project you're working to get behind the camera on? Or are you writing anything right now?
Yeah, I always have a few scripts going, but I'm currently in the financing stage of another feature film, a drama, an original screenplay. So I'm really excited about that, and I hope to be able to share that soon.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate taking all the time. I know you have a busy press day here. Thank you so much for being on the Left of Straight show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time. Bye.
You down to your bones, naked and afraid, they tell me. So we're gonna try. Our friend actually made this. So yay, gay people!
It's vodka. Vodka
wow,
soda.
It's vodka soda. Different flavors. Look mm-hmm. how cute this packaging is. Oh my god, the cans are so cute.
So cute.
Oh my nice god, watermelon.
Okay,
oh my god.
The watermelon. I'll go
first. Oh shit. Cheers.
All right, everyone, we are continuing with our movie Float, and I'm so excited to welcome an award-winning Taiwanese-American director, writer, and actor whose lengthy career has proven to be a versatile and influential presence in the industry. Michelle writes and directs in multiple genres, weaving in personal narratives, comedy, and even a bit of horror. She's an alumni of the AFI Directing Workshop for Women, and this new movie we're talking about, Float, premieres in theaters and streaming February 9th. Welcome to the show, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. I love kind of looking over your resume. You've done so many great things. I remember seeing you in Hollywood, Anna May Wong. Wow, that had to be kind of an exciting role to take on. How was that to portray?
It was intimidating at first. It was a lifelong dream to play her. And then when I actually got to play her, I realized that it was very daunting. And I had an amazing time. That role really unlocked a lot of themes for myself as an actor, as an artist, and as a person living in America. And I have to say, yeah, it was a big game changer, that role.
It was fantastically played. The entire cast was amazing. Of course, Ryan Murphy always does really well. Now, you're a director too, and I talked with Sharon about this, how easy it is to work with a director who's also an actor and vice versa. Did you get along with Ryan Murphy, and are you guys able to kind of compare notes or share little tricks of the trade?
With Ryan, we have worked together on another series. One of his very first series called Popular was the series that I was on, and I played Exquisite Wu, the best named character I've ever played. And
I love that.
Yeah, so we reunited on Hollywood, but I didn't actually get to work with him because he didn't direct my episode. But I have so much admiration for how much work he puts out, and he's such an entertaining storyteller, and he's so prolific. So I have a lot of respect for him because I am aspiring to be a writer and director.
Well, you're doing so great at it. Talk about being accepted by Hulu. You got in their bite-sized Halloween program. That had to be kind of fun. Did you like playing in that genre a bit?
Oh, I loved it. It was really a gift because I didn't know that I had the horror brain going. I made this short film. It was supposed to be a dramatic love letter to my mother. It was a psychological thriller, but it was my way of saying, oh, my mom is this difficult, complex character, and it's a result of her being displaced in her culture. And I was really talking about all these social, socially minded themes. And then someone tapped my shoulder after having watched that and said, would you like to do some horror? So it was a little bit of a pivot, but I realized that they saw something in my work, which is that I understand tension and I understand how to
create
tension because I've lived it my whole life. So because of that, I was able to create something that lives in the horror space. And I really enjoy just how cinematic horror can be, the kinds of fears that you can write about that feel very universal and relevant. And because we are living in such horrific times, it feels, it's a relevant genre. Yeah.
Well, such a great job on that. Let's talk about the film now, getting to Float. Talk about, what did you see in the project when it was approached to you? I mean, you play a very pivotal supporting character there. Talk about what the film, what it kind of jumped out to you that made you want to take this role on.
Well, the film itself was well-written. It was a beautiful script.
I was very excited knowing that the director, Sharon Lee, not only is she POC Asian, but she made the central protagonist and the family Asian, which allows for a kind of complexity that maybe the script didn't have, but she brought that lens to the adaptation. And because we have seen romance films featuring those characters before in so many different iterations, I had never personally seen something that lives in this romance space meets family. And I think this film, which is romance and a generational question of like, how do you stand up to your parents? Having those two mashed together made that film very unique for me. And it was like a different twist on that old take of a straight romance. And because of that, I felt like it was going to be smart and she could, you know, add the layers without commenting or imposing too much on it. And right. And I felt like that was going to be the strength of the film, of what makes it stand out.
Yeah, I love that. I've got a lot of that intersectionality in that from you. Sharon had great words to say about it. Talked to Kurt Yeager the other day, who has an amputee. And it's like, just characters are characters. I love that we're getting a lot more representation across the board. It doesn't have to call for a certain type of character, right? You can play any type of character. You've done films and TV all over the world. So what is important to you from an acting experience to help you grow?
Well, I think because I had mentioned earlier that I, you know, coming off the heels of Anime Wong and realizing that I was really working very hard in Hollywood for others, and I was laboring for others, and I was servicing other central characters and other central narratives, but I was always kind of like secondary or tertiary. And I needed in my own work to really understand that I needed to give myself permission to step into that central protagonist narrative, which isn't always given to me, you know? And so when I have a character like Rachel, I'm being asked to really step into my own as to how I perceive that character. And there's a real need to be free and independent and to play without failing. And a lot of times for the earlier part of my career, I just always was so afraid of failing and so always questioning myself or doubting myself, that with Rachel, she's just a character who doesn't doubt herself. And right. She is liberated and she's very free and she's very much in the zone of failing is okay, you know? And that's a new space to work in, because there's really kind of like a permission to just take risks. And because Sharon is Sharon, I was able to do that and not feel like I had to try so hard or you know, there's always so much research involved with, you know, like for example, with Anime Wong, I did so much research on her, that with a character like Rachel, I could kind of keep it closer to myself and therefore just relax into that part. And I know that sounds like nothing, but for someone like myself, it's everything.
I bet. And I was just going to say, I mean, talk about just going over your resume. You've done go all the time. And of course we have Andrea's character kind of taking this little gap in between deciding what she wants to do. Have you ever had that time where you just kind of gone the other way and not been so driven? Or are you always there?
I called it the pandemic.
good answer.
Yes, I think that's kind of where I am now, Scott. I think that now I'm moving into writing and directing, and it's something I've always wanted to do. I just wanted to make sure it was for the right reasons, that I had something to say as a writer, that I'm at a space now where I'm acting when I want to act, and then I'm writing and directing because I need to. You know, before, acting was sort of like the major force that I was, you know, praying, eating, sleeping in the house of acting every day. And now I have a sense of what that craft is about. I can now shift and pivot gears so that I can create something that feels like it's something that I'm the master of. This is the world that I'm creating, and I can really kind of fine tune all the details and not have to be in service of anyone else. I'm really laboring for myself now. So that's kind of where I'm at, is kind of running in a different direction and figuring out how to act and write and direct and not having to choose, like, you know, any kind of binaries right now.
Well, good for you. If anyone can do it, you can. Just like I said, I love looking over your resume. Well, I'm so excited for the film. Like I said, it's opening this week. Let's go on. Before we leave you, though, I want to talk about your next project, because talk about writing, acting, directing. You wrote and acting in Tiger Mom coming up with Lachlan Monroe, who I absolutely love. And of course, Ken Jeong is one of the funniest guys on the planet. Talk about writing a character, writing for a movie, and playing that character. How was that?
That was actually quite hard. For Tiger Mom, it was a process I was brought into to co-write a pre-existing material. And it's a script that had been around for many, many years. And I was actually more concerned about writing the central protagonist's narrative. My character is not the central protagonist. I'm actually more of the villain in that story. But I figured that, you know, I needed to write that central narrative first, which is the arc of the film. And then I could address, you know, the other characters, my character being one of them. But doing that was actually, writing a character for myself is actually quite hard, because you have to, you know, divorce yourself from yourself. Right. Writing someone else's character, that actually comes a little bit more naturally to me.
Well, Michelle Krusiec, has been an absolute pleasure having you on the Left of Strange show today. Congratulations on the film and all your future projects. I hope you come back when Tiger Mom comes on. We'll have another discussion here.
I hope so. Thanks for having me, Scott.
No problem. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you soon. Alrighty, guys, we're continuing to talk about the great new movie Float. I'm so excited to welcome co-star Andrew Batchelor here. He's widely recognized by his stage name King Batch. He's carved a unique niche for himself in the entertainment industry, seamlessly blending social media prowess with traditional acting. Andrew's one of the OGs of social media back on Vine, and this success transitioned to a thriving acting and comedy career. Staying relevant always, he keeps his social media presence with millions of followers on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And beyond his on-screen endeavors, Andrew is lesser known, but probably should be more lauded for his philanthropic efforts. He uses his platform to support various causes and uplift communities, and founded the Rujan Foundation with his sister to honor his grandparents. He's here to continue talking about this great film Float. So, Andrew, welcome to Left to Straight Interviews. How you doing, sir?
Oh, thank you. What a lovely introduction.
Well, you have a lovely career in front of you, my friend. I love doing my research on you. You've done so many great things. I mean, we'll go to the philanthropic for a second. I mean, you and your sister started this young back in the day to honor your grandparents. Thanks for doing things like that. Talk about how important that is to you.
Yeah, you know, at an early age, we went back to Jamaica, and we started off as like a class project, but then we saw like the expression and the smile and the joy that it brought to the community. And it just made us happy to see that we were able to give back to others. Like at that time, it was like an old computer that we weren't using. We gave it back, but to them, that's their first and only computer that they've ever had. Now they can play video games. They can do things that they were never able to do. So just having moments like that really felt great.
That's fantastic. So we talked about you being the OG back on Vine. What was the inspiration behind the transition from social media to film? And how did that go after creating your own stuff for so long and finally starting to work for others? Was that an easy transition or something you had to learn? Talk about that.
Well, yeah. So my original plan was to always get into the film space, into acting, TV and movies. You know, back in the day, they said you had to do stand-up. So you do stand-up, then you get a sitcom like Tim Allen or Martin Lawrence. You know what I mean? So that was the path I was doing. So I started doing stand-up. But then as time went on, it started to change. The social media started to get bigger. YouTube was getting bigger. You know, Donald Glover, who's Childish Gambino, he had a comedy group called Derek Comedy. And I was watching that and I saw that he went from that to writing on 30 Rock. Then he was starring in Community. So I was like, oh, so maybe social media is the way. So I started doing the YouTube videos and I started doing the Vine. And when all that blew up, that was finally able to open up the doors for me to get in there.
Amazing. And talk about how this background in social media influenced your approach to acting roles. I mean, you're taking on characters all the time with your little shorts there. Is that, you see that background kind of helped your acting today?
Yeah, definitely. I think what the internet does, it gives you instant feedback as to what people like and what people don't like. Whereas if you do a movie, you have to wait till the critics say something. And sometimes the critics are too critical. You know, it's just the internet lets you know immediately what to work on, what not to work on, you know, and a lot of times my characters, they test high in the film because of the things that I've learned doing internet videos.
Right. And now you've worked in comedy, you've worked in horror. Now we're talking about a dramatic role for Float. Which genre do you find most challenging to you? Do you have one particular one that you kind of feel you have to work a little harder? Or?
I think comedy is definitely the hardest to do because you always have to be on your toes at all times. You have to learn to adapt. You have to learn to change, pivot. And that's the hardest thing. You know what I mean? Like you can't be lazy with comedy. Comedy, you really got to be focused.
Right. For sure. Well, let's get into Float here. I've had the pleasure of being able to talk to Sharon and Michelle so far. So I'm so excited to add you to the mix. I mean, a great cast of characters. Let everyone know a little bit about your character and what drew you to the project.
Oh yeah. So my character, I play the best friend of Robbie and Mel Blake. And, you know, my character is kind of there as the voice of reason, you know. Blake's character, he falls in love. He falls in love and he kind of lets his problems take over his personal life. And I think that's a lesson just in life. It's things are going to be up, things are going to be down, but you got to learn to not let it affect everything in your life, because there are some positive things in your life and you should try and keep those positive things positive. And it's hard. It's easier said than done, but try and separate the two.
Right. Well said. And how do you prepare for a role like this? Has the process changed over the years, or how do you get into your characters or research your characters?
Yeah, now it's more of it's getting to know the cast and the chemistry, how we flow together, how we all vibe. And, you know, it was a great cast. We all had a blast shooting it. We shot it in Canada. And some of the places we shot were beautiful. I don't remember the names of the places we shot, but it was just beautiful. I remember Robbie saying, this place looks like a green screen. People aren't going to believe that we really shot there. But yeah, it looks great.
I love that. Now, do you have a most memorable moment on set so far? Something in this film maybe, or something in the past that really rings to you in your career?
Let's see. What was the craziest thing? We were shooting summer, but it was cold. Like, and we had to go in the lake. We had a scene in the lake and we were freezing our butts off. But yeah, that was probably the most, that was the biggest thing I remember.
Nice. And we all kind of learn something from each set we're on and everything. What do you think your takeaway is from Float?
Working with friends is always fun. This is my, I think, let me see, 1, 2, 3. I think this is my 4th film with Robbie, and it's always a blast working with him.
Nice. Yeah, he's great. I've been following his career ever since Flash and Firestorm, and he does some amazing work. And of course, his cousin Steven and everything, I'm a big fan of. I'm a superhero nerd, so to speak. Yeah. So that's awesome. You guys have been able to work together so much. Talk about the evolution now of digital media. Let's get back to where you go from here. We have TikTok now in these short forms, and Vine was very short form. How do you see the future of entertainment and your role in it? Because people are creating their own projects now. They're able to film on their own phones. Talk about how you see everything moving from here.
Yeah, I think, you know, social media is kind of, we're seeing it happen. It's like it's a new wave. Remember when it was radio and then TV came out, people were like, oh, TV, you know, and then TV was huge. And then it was movies. And then, you know, all things just started to like just evolve and get bigger and better. And some people accepted it and some people rejected it. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen is going to happen. So you might as well just hop on the train and ride.
There you go. We only have time for maybe one or two more questions. Do you have any advice for inspiring actors or maybe social media people are trying to be influencers? Anything you want to give them on a career or what it takes to be successful in either form?
Yeah, I would say the three things to be successful, and not just entertainment and anything, it's consistency, being able to adapt, and always willing to learn. I mean, I think those are the three top things. Now, as far as, you know, getting into acting, definitely consistency. Like, you can't be afraid to just put yourself out there. You can't be afraid of rejection. And for social media, you got to be yourself. You got to be you, because if you try to be someone else, they're going to see, oh, that's this guy's just being a version of King Batch. But no, you need to be yourself. And that's
well said, my friend. I love that. Well, congratulations on the role. It's fantastic. Your role of Jesse is amazing. I love the film Float. To finish up here, do you have anything else upcoming we should be on lookout? I saw you're in The Legend of the White Dragon coming up. Anything that you want to plug here for upcoming events where we can see you?
I'll be in the new Walking Dead show. That series starts February 25th on AMC. So it's they're bringing the stories all together. So that'll be fun.
Amazing. Well, Andrew Batchelor, King Batch himself, here on the Left of Straight Interviews. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your press day, and we're going to be looking forward to this movie, my friend. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Left of Straight Show. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast distributor, and please give us a 5-star rating so more listeners can find us. You can follow us on social media, and be sure to check out our website, www.leftofstraightradio.com, for contests and other news and information. See you next week.